Once again, we just want to welcome you this morning, wherever it is that you are listening from or watching from, whether it's Melbourne, whether it's interstate, whether it's overseas. We believe that God is able to speak to you this morning. In fact, we believe that God wants to speak to you this morning. We believe that one of the beautiful things about the gospel story is how much God loved the world and the efforts that he went to in order to reach us. And we see that throughout scripture this morning. So wherever it is that you are watching from, we believe that God is wanting, and he's already made a step towards you this morning, and he's wanting for you to take a step towards him. And so it's my privilege and my honor this morning to get to bring to you the word. It's a little bit different here today. By the way, I'm going to give a massive shout out, because in this room in our church building right now, there's only two people. It's just myself and Matt. And you can't see Matt, but right now Matt is manning the back desk on his own, and is running between like four different computers and sound and all this sort of stuff. And he's doing an incredible job back there. So a massive shout out to him. But this morning, it's my honor and privilege to get to bring the word once again. And I love doing this. And this morning, as I was thinking about what to share, I feel like probably something that has gripped my heart for 2022. And it's this theme around scripture. Okay. And I think we've heard our senior pastor mention this over the last couple of weeks. But in my first time speaking in 2022, I really felt gripped to talk a little bit about this theme of scripture. And in particular, what I'd love to do this morning, okay, what I'd love to do as you get ready and strap your seats to and your seatbelts to what we're going to talk about, what I'd love to try and answer this morning is the question, is there a right way and a wrong way to read the Bible? And if so, what is the right way? So is there a wrong way to read the Bible? And if there is, what is the right way to read the Bible? I want to try and answer that. And there's so much that could be said about that. And there's no way that I can talk about all of that over the next, 2 hours, just joking, over the next, 20, 30 minutes. There's no way that I can talk about all of that. However, I just want to talk about maybe some of those things and some of those concepts that have made a difference to me. So again, we're talking about scripture. We're talking about the word of God, and we're trying to answer the question, is there a wrong way? Maybe you need to ask yourself this morning, when I read the Bible, am I reading it in the wrong way? And if I am reading it in the wrong way, is there a right way to read the Bible? I've entitled my message this morning, The Rhythm of Reading in 2022. Very simple, very straightforward, very practical. The Rhythm of Reading in 2022. Can we start off this morning by praying, if that's okay? Let's just pray, and let's just give these next few moments that we've got here to share together to God. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning that we can still engage, we can still connect with our church community, Lord, wherever they are located, wherever they are situated and found, your spirit is there with them. And we are connected this morning through you, through your love, through your grace. And so this morning, I pray that you may take the next few moments, God, that we get to share together. And I pray that as we share about this theme of scripture, God, that you may apply it to our lives. God, help us to be gripped and changed, Lord, by your word. Help us to lean in closer to you this morning, God, because of who you are and because of what you've done for us, God. We thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much for his sacrifice. We thank you so much that without Jesus, we would not be here. Lord God, we would not be who we are. Some of us may not be alive this morning. We are so grateful for your word. We are so grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus. Lord, we give these next few moments to you in your hands, and in your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Church, can I just start off by saying that I love the Bible. I love the Bible. You know, I remember for me as a 19-year-old picking up the Bible, and it wasn't the very first time that I had picked up the Bible. I had read some of the Bible beforehand growing up, but I remember as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old picking up the Bible and having my life forever changed, picking up the Bible and the words coming alive into my heart, into my soul, and changing me. And part of the reason why I love the Bible is because of the experience that I've had in reading the Bible. And I love it. I love reading it. I love just getting it inside of my heart and my soul. I love the Word of God. But, you know, as I say that, I totally understand and I totally recognize that not everybody who is actually watching and listening here this morning has the same experience of this book as I do. I totally understand that some people maybe that are listening here today have said to themselves, well, I read the Bible too, and I had to close it because I didn't quite understand it. I also understand that there are some people, maybe some people that are watching here that have read the Bible and that have just gone, I think it's a little bit out of date. I think it's a little bit antiquated. I also recognize that perhaps there are some people that have read the Bible, maybe some that are listening, maybe some that aren't, maybe some that people that you know that read the Bible and find the word offensive. To me, and to so many people that are listening online, this book has breathed life into our very souls. To so many people amongst our community and the people that are watching and so many people outside of our community that call themselves Christians, this book has become a watershed moment in their lives. It has forever changed their life from what they used to be to not just who they are today, but who they also are becoming and who they will become. You see, to so many people that are watching here today that are amongst our church community, and to me personally, this book has helped to define our identity. It's more than just a book. The words in this book have actually helped us to navigate the paths of pain. To some people, it has helped them in the lowest times of depression. To some people, the words and the life-giving words of this book have helped them to direct their lives, their careers, their relationships. As a result of this book, their life has never been the same again. To others in our community and beyond, this book represents the framework from which their whole lives is built, from which their identity is built, from which the way that they see the world is built. This book has become the substructure, the foundation of everything that they do and how they see the world. And the truth is that the reason why so many people in our community, and not just in our community, but beyond our community and also throughout history, share the same conviction about this book, the Bible, is because the words on the pages of this Bible are not just mere constructs, not just grammar, it's not just sentences, it's more than just chapters inside of a book. You see, a normal book that you would pick up and read, right, it uses words to give us information. It uses words to give us information about a plot, words to give us information about a point of time, about people, about places, about events. But can I say this morning that the reason why so many of us have been impacted by this book is because the primary purpose of this book, as one theologian said, is not for information, but the primary purpose is for formation. You see, the beautiful thing about this book is that it's not just about words and giving us information, but it's to form our very identity. The words in it are to form our souls and to show us who we're meant to be. You see, throughout this book, we believe that it's meant to form us and shape us into who we're meant to be. In our community, in our church community and beyond, and those who call themselves Christians and followers of Jesus, we share a conviction that the words in this book are living and breathing and transforming us from the inside out. Why? Why do we share that conviction? Well, because within the pages of the book, we find the voice of the author of the book, who is revealing himself throughout the book. And as he reveals himself throughout this book, he also reveals to us who we really are. You see, I love that. I love that because throughout the pages of the Bible, from the beginning to the end, we see God revealing himself. It's not, God is not a figment of our imagination that we have made up. We haven't said, this is who God is. This is how God is. No, 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 no. It was God who took the initiative from start to finish to show us who he is through the pages of the Bible. And some people say, oh man, I don't understand how God works. Like when I read the Old Testament and then I read the New Testament, it's like it's a different God. No, 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 no. We're not talking about different people at the start and then different people at the end. It is the same voice. It is the same God who is progressively revealing himself all from start to finish. The whole book is about him revealing who God is. You've read the story of Genesis 1 and 2 about the story of creation. You know what that is? It's about God revealing himself as the creator of the world, showing himself as the creator from who everything originates, through life originates through him. That is God revealing himself as creator. Later on, we see different stories in the book. You remember the story of the people of Israel, or even before that, you remember their story of Joseph and how at the time Joseph basically became the savior of all of the known world at the time and saved them from hunger and saved them from, you know, from starvation. And that was, in a sense, God revealing himself as the savior of the world. Later on, we see Moses and God revealed to him instructions about the tabernacle and the sacrifices and the laws. And what was that? That was God's way of revealing himself as the only person and the only one who's able to provide the sacrifice and payment for our sins. It's the same God and it's the same voice that is woven throughout scripture from start to finish. And here's the beautiful thing about this revelation, because the beautiful thing about this whole story is that the revelation that we see of God revealing himself is ultimately fulfilled. The culmination of his revelation is fulfilled in one person whose name is Jesus. All of it points to Jesus. All of who God is, the fullness of who God is represented in the person of Jesus. All of the words, all of the pictures, all of the miracles, all of the works, all of the sacrifices find their fulfillment in Jesus. This morning, Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. And so today, as my first time getting to speak to our church in 2022, I think that the most important thing that we can focus on this year, in the middle of the craziness, in the middle of the uncertainty, in the middle of what people are calling disruption, whatever that means, in the middle of our life, at the inception of 2022, at the beginning of 2022, I believe personally that the best thing that we can do is to come back to this life-giving word for the power that we need to live. See, in 2022, the greatest resolution, the greatest goal, the greatest commitment that I believe that we can make is to hear more of God's voice in this word, to hear more of his voice that is wrapped up in these scriptures that we call the Bible. The voice of God the Father, the voice of God the Son, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, giving us life, giving words as we read each page on this book. This morning, in case you haven't figured out, I'm kind of amped up and kind of excited about trying to make a case for us listening to more of God's voice in 2022. I'm kind of amped up for hearing more of God's voice in 2022. And you may be saying, why are you talking about hearing his voice? Don't you mean you're excited about reading more of the Bible in 2022? Yes, I do. I actually mean both reading and listening. What do I mean? Do you remember in the Bible, Jesus told a parable to his disciples one time? And the parable was a parable of the sower sowing seed. You remember this story. It's a very well known parable. And he was saying that as the sower went out and he was sowing his seed, the seed fell amongst different types of ground, right? So some of the seed fell on the path. Some of the seed fell on the rocky ground. Some of the seed fell amongst the thorns. And then some of the seed fell on good soil. And the one that fell on good soil represented those with a good heart, and the others represented those where the word was choked up and didn't produce fruit. But here's what I want us to remember about that story. If you remember the difference between the people who actually bore fruit, okay, and those that didn't, what was the difference? The difference was, the Bible tells us, and Jesus tells us, there was one difference, and it was how they heard the word. How they heard the word. You see, in that story, all of them received the seed. And the seed represents the word of God. All of them received the word of God, but it was only one type of soil, one type of person, one type of heart that actually bore fruit. And the difference was in how they heard. The difference was in their hearing. All of them had the Bible, but only one of them heard the Bible appropriately. You see, what made the difference was this one thing. All of them had the Bible. All of them knew what the Bible said. All of them were informed about the Bible. The problem wasn't in how much of the Bible they knew and how informed on the Bible they were. Jesus tells them that the problem was how they heard it, how they read the word, and how they heard it made all the difference to the fruit that that word bore in their lives. And so this morning, I want to say it's both hearing and listening. It's both reading and listening, because I think one of the greatest weaknesses that's happening right now in our Christian culture is not necessarily the amount of biblical content that is out there or the amount of biblical knowledge that we have, but our failure sometimes as Christians is being able to integrate that knowledge and integrate that content into our everyday lives. You see, I want to say it another way. If I could say it a much simpler way, our problem is not with the amount of Bible that we are reading. Our problem is with how we are reading what we are reading. Reading our scripture is not creating this greater depth of understanding inside of us about who Jesus is, then it's not making a difference. If reading scripture is not working in our hearts and in our souls in such a way that we know Jesus more, that we love Jesus more, that we obey Jesus more, then we are becoming just like those other soils that didn't bear fruit. This morning, I want to say no matter how much of the Bible you read, no matter how much of the Bible you know, if you are not hearing in the way that Jesus calls us to hear his word, then all we are doing is racking up more information that is probably going to be useless. Is Bible knowledge important? Absolutely, 100%. But without us hearing his voice in what we read, then we will never produce the fruit that Jesus purposed for us to produce. We need to read and we need to listen. And we need to listen and we need to read. Have you ever read a book and then you realize halfway through the sentences that you just were not paying attention to what you were actually reading? Happens to me all the time. And then you have to read it over and over and over again before you actually start to pay attention to what you are actually reading. If you are reading but you are not listening, then you are not really experiencing what the Bible calls us to experience. And I think that all of us fall into this trap. There's not one person that does not fall into this trap. And I think that perhaps part of the reason why we fall into this trap with our Bible is because sometimes we come to the Bible and we approach our Bible reading in the wrong fashion. We approach it in the wrong perspective. And this morning, I want to get really practical, if that's okay. This is not a complicated message. It's a very practical message. And I think that sometimes part of the reason why we don't bear fruit is because we approach our Bible reading from the wrong perspective. And all I want to do is talk very quickly about, I think, some of the ways that we approach our Bible reading and we approach the scriptures in the wrong fashion, firstly. And then we're going to talk about the right fashion to approach the scriptures. So firstly, what are some of the ways that we approach our scripture and our Bible reading in the wrong fashion, the incorrect ways? Here's some ways. They're not, like I said, I don't have time to go into all of them. These are just some of them, and I'm sure that you could come up with your own. But here's one. Here's the first one. I think that sometimes part of the reason why we don't bear fruit and our Bible reading has become stale, okay, is because when we approach the Bible and when we approach the Word of God, we approach it out of duty. Duty. You see, sometimes reading the Bible becomes about a have to more than a want to. And the danger of reading the Bible from a place of I have to, I have to, I have to, is that you start to get into a performance trap. And if you are long enough into this performance trap, you get stuck into a religiosity trap. What do I mean? I mean this. I mean that if you fail to read the Bible, all of a sudden, God is not pleased with you. All of a sudden, you are condemned. All of a sudden, you are guilty. All of a sudden, you've let God down because you haven't kept your Bible plan according to the plan that you had. It's called a performance trap. On the other hand, if we're good at performance, if we're a checklist type of person and we like to actually keep to a schedule and a routine, you know what happens? The opposite actually happens. Instead of becoming condemned and feeling guilty about it, we do the other extreme and we become proud and we become, you know, I'm better than that person because I can stick to a plan and I can stick to this reading plan and routine. What's wrong with you because you can't do it? And so when we approach the Bible out of a sense of duty, we approach it in the wrong fashion and we don't bear the fruit that we're supposed to bear. You know, I remember once upon a time speaking to a person many years ago who was in ministry, and we were talking about this Bible reading plan and Bible reading practice. And he was sharing with me how whenever he missed a day, I'm not talking about weeks, I'm not talking about months, I'm talking about a day. If you miss a day in his Bible reading plan, he would have a sense of guilt and shame over him for missing it because he felt like he was letting God down and that this was something that he had to do. And I found that so sad, because the reality is that his Bible reading had turned into a performance trap and into a sense of duty rather than a sense of delight and a sense of want to and a sense of, okay, God, what do you have for me today? If we approach the Bible reading out of duty because you have to, then you will miss the point of the Bible. You will miss the point of the scriptures, and you will not get out of the scriptures what God intends you to get. It will become a checklist that you have to tick off. And the worst thing that can happen is that you can tick off that checklist that you've read all your scriptures, but you got nothing out of them. A sense of duty. When we approach our scriptures out of a sense of duty, we're starting off on the wrong foot. How else do we approach the Bible and our Bible reading from an incorrect perspective? I believe this. The second way that we do it is when we approach the Bible by putting ourselves at the center of the text. You see, when we read the Bible, what do I mean? When we read the Bible, it's so easy for us to come with our own presuppositions, okay? Our own sense of what is right and what is wrong and the way that we see the world. We all have those presuppositions, okay? We come to the Bible with our own experiences, with our own backgrounds, with our own ideas, with our own upbringings. And the mistake that we make is when we try and make the text and the scriptures that we are reading conform to our own ideas and our beliefs and our experiences rather than us conform to the scripture. You see, I said before at the start that the Bible is God's story. It's God's story. It's God's revelation about who He is. It's God's invitation for us to join Him in His story. It's not about us inviting God to join us in our story. God is the center of the text, not you or I. God, as someone told me recently, is the hero of the story, not you or I. You know, C.S. Lewis, a very well-known author, Christian author, and so many other things that he was, he said this two things about Bible reading. He said, you can approach the Bible in one of two ways. He said, you can read the Bible in one of two ways. He said, number one, you can do it in reading in which we use the book for our own purposes. And number two, there's reading in which we receive the author's purposes. And I'm afraid that too often we come to read the Bible with our own purposes. God, this is what I think. And we treat God and his word as a consultant rather than as the owner of our lives. And so when we read this way and we approach the Bible this way, we place our wills above God's will. When we read the Bible this way, we try and conform God to our ways rather than allowing God and God's revelation of who he is conform us to his ways. Putting ourselves at the center of the text will not develop the fruit that we are looking for. What's another way? Another way that we come incorrectly when we approach the word of God, I believe, is this, is that we read primarily for information. We said before that a theologian said the Bible's primary purpose is not for information, but for formation. But sometimes, if we're honest, we come to the Bible primarily for information. You know that if you go to a Christian library, even to a non-Christian library, there are hundreds and thousands of books that have been written about the Bible. There are thousands, tens and thousands upon thousands of authors who have written about the Bible, intellectuals, theologians, books about doctrine, books about church history, books about biblical interpretation, books about the Bible. And these books are great, and I love reading these books, and I have a lot of these books. However, that does not mean that the information that is out there is going to help you to know God personally more as he intends you to know him. Learning information about God is not the same as knowing God. Not the same thing. The Bible, we said, is not about information about God, but it's God's revelation about himself, of who he is, God wanting to reveal himself and his characteristics and his personality and his personhood to you or I. You see, information is very different to God's revelation. Two different things. Information is good, it's great, it's necessary, it's needed, but do not mistake it for revelation. I've been speaking to quite a few young people over the last several months about the subject of dating. And I was at a wedding not long ago, at the end of last year, and I got a chance to speak to some people who were together. They weren't married yet. They were together. And I asked them how they met. And inevitably, you know, over the last couple of years, the number way of meeting a person these days has become via online. And I think that's good. I think that's great. I think, you know, if it helps you to meet people, I think it's a great way of meeting people. However, one of the things that I hear time and time and time and time again with these people is that before they met, all they had was an app with information about a person. It told them about the color, their favorite color. It told them about their favorite food. It told them about the books that they like reading. But the reality was this, that no matter how much information they have about the person on the app, they can never truly know who that person is unless they start to engage with that person, unless they start to meet with that person, spend time with that person. And as they start to engage and spend time with that person, everything that they knew of the information of that person all of a sudden starts to become revelation as they start to see, now I can see that that's your sense of personality. Before, I read it in an app, but now I can see it. Now I can see why you love this food. Now I can see that that is your personality. Why? Because they got to know him. Intimacy. Intimacy led to revelation, which is greater than just having information. And I want to say this morning, that I think that the Bible is meant to be the same. It's not meant to be about gaining more information about God, about facts and dates, okay? The book, this book isn't a science book. It's not a history book necessarily. The Bible is meant to give us a deep and a personal revelation about the God who created the world and the God who created us and the God who wants an intimate relationship with us. The Bible is meant to remove the veil that is in your heart that is stopping you from knowing Him, and it is meant to help you to see God the way that He truly is, not the way that you want Him to be, not the way that you have read about Him online, but the way that He truly reveals Himself to us in Scripture. And so what happens is when we come to the Bible purely from an intellectual perspective, we miss the experience of the person that we are reading about whose voice is found throughout the Bible. How else do we approach the Bible incorrectly? I think this is what we do. Sometimes we approach the Bible primarily for comfort and inspiration. What I mean by that is we approach it primarily for our own personal needs. You know, I read a book recently that talked about the way that we view Scripture sometimes as fortune cookies. You know what a fortune cookie is, right? You crack the cookie open, and when you open it, there's a little piece of paper inside, and generally that piece of paper has got this amazing quote that's, you know, this little quote that's meant to change your life, or this inspirational message, or something that's meant to make you think about your day. And I think something that's meant to make us feel good, right, ultimately. And I think that what this person was saying about sometimes we treat the Bible like a fortune cookie, the more I think about it, the more it's so true. Because we tend to sometimes bring these scriptures down and bring the Bible down into these little bite-sized pieces that we can carry with us, you know, for our daily inspiration or our daily motivation. And don't get me wrong, I think it's great to memorize verses, and I do that and I try to do that. We can all read them, that's cool. But sometimes we bring the Bible down and we reduce the Bible down to these inspirational quotes that we can put on a frame, that we can advertise, and that we can then consume and market. And then we start marketing all the good phrases. And the danger with reducing the Bible to inspirational quotes or to phrases that are positive and that are comforting, the danger with doing this is that we start making the Bible conform to just the good things that we want to hear. And so the Bible becomes all about making us feel good. But what about the rest of the Bible that when we actually consume it and when we wrestle with it, it doesn't actually feel that good, and we need to think through it and we need to understand it. And so when we approach the Bible from the perspective of just our own wants and needs and our own desires, what we do is we reduce the Bible down to the parts that we want to hear, and we reduce our world down to a world that's black and white and not so easy to deal with the gray areas of life. A gospel that is about achievement, efficiency, and image, and a gospel that ultimately becomes about us. Excuse me one second. Water is good, amen. And so, this morning, these are some of the ways that we approach the Bible from an incorrect perspective. But I want to propose to you today that our reading of Scripture can be done in such a manner that as we read, we hear the voice of God in our lives and we are conformed to His image. I want to challenge you at the start of 2022 to read the Bible and to read the Scriptures in such a manner in which Jesus's words touch and breathe life into your very soul, okay? I want to challenge all of us that are listening here this morning not to read the Bible so that we can prove people wrong. I want to challenge us all not to read the Bible so that it can fit into your point of view or your political perspective. No, no, no. I want us to challenge us to read the Bible, not just so that we can justify our own life choices. No, I want to challenge you this morning to read the Bible so that when you hear the voice of Jesus as you're reading, you conform and you become more like him and the person that he has called you to be. I want to challenge you to approach the word this year so that this year can be the most fruitful year that you've ever had. You know, some people say that we've got the most time that we've ever had before. So why don't you challenge yourself to use that time this year to read more and to hear more and to listen to more of the word of Jesus in your life. This word can be alive. This word can be fulfilling. This word can be life-changing. This word can be everything that we need to live this life on earth. How? Great. I'm glad you asked that question. How do we read in that manner? So if we sometimes approach it incorrectly, how do we approach it from a perspective that we can bear the fruit that Jesus is calling us to bear? I'm going to go through these very quickly, okay? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time with them. And like I said before, there can be so many, but these are just some simple items. I think I got 5 items today, okay? The first thing is this: how do we read in order to listen? And how do we listen in order to read? Number one, we need to read hungry. Hungry. This is what Psalm 90 verse 20 says. The psalmist says this. He says, "My soul is starved and hungry, ravenous, insatiable for your nourishing commands." Hungry. We need to come to the word hungry so that we can hear his word. Have you ever been at home and have you ever annoyed your mum or annoyed your spouse by shouting these words? "Babe, what's for dinner? Mum, what are we going to have to eat tonight?" You know, because you're hungry, you're starving, and you want to know. And what happens when you're hungry and you're annoying your entire household and you're annoying your spouse or your mom and asking them for what's to come? You know, you may have been avoiding them and ignoring what they're saying like the whole day, but I guarantee you that if you are hungry and you ask these words, you will be attentive to what's coming next. "We're having chicken. We're having whatever." You are attentive and waiting for the response because of your hunger. When you come hungry, you will come ready to listen. And when we start our reading with a sense of hunger and needing his voice to fill our lives, then our reading and our listening will forever be changed. You know, one of the things that I try to do whenever I come to the word, the first thing that I try to do is I pray. And I say, "God, this morning I'm coming to you again because I need you, God. I need your word. Jesus, help me to understand your word. Jesus, help me to listen to your word. Help me to apply your word into my life because I need you, and without you, I am nothing. Speak to me, Lord." And I pray that prayer as my way of coming hungry before God and ready to listen to what he has to say to me. So the first way that I think that we need to come as we approach the scripture in 2022 is we need to come hungry. The second way, I think that the second way we need to approach the Bible is this: our consumption of the scriptures needs to be consistent. It needs to be consistent. Listen to what Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3 says. It says this: "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law," get this, "day and night." Day and night. You notice this guy was reading his Bible day and night. That's a lot of Bible reading. He was building, what was he doing? He was building a rhythm. He was building a consistency. He was building a pattern to his reading. And the first thing I want to say about God's word is that if we're going to read it consistency and we're going to approach it the right way, is that we need to learn to build a rhythm of reading the word of God. A rhythm. You know, we have so many rhythms in our lives that we don't even realize. Maybe we need to replace some of those rhythms with this rhythm of reading. The thing about a rhythm is this: that a rhythm is something that we've become so used to doing and accustomed to doing it that it becomes like second nature. It becomes part of us, becomes a part of our identity, something that we just do because it is ingrained in us. But to get this rhythm, you have to work for the rhythm. You see, to get this rhythm, you got to plan to make it happen. It just doesn't happen by itself. Maybe to the person, here's the beautiful thing about rhythms. Maybe to the person that is observing the rhythm, they think, whoa, that comes easy. I'm sitting next to the drums here at church. If you've ever seen one of our drummers play the drums, they're playing in rhythm. And to us that are watching out there, we think, oh man, that comes so easy. Ro, you are a great drummer. He never had to practice a day in his life. No. It looks easy. The rhythm looks easy to us. But if you were to ask Ro how he got that rhythm, it came with practice. It came with time. It came with consistency. It came with training. It came with routine. It came with doing it with a sense of purpose over and over again until all of a sudden that drumming and that rhythm became a second part of who he was. And I think that sometimes reading the Bible is the same thing. The more that we do it, the more that we wake up in the morning and we're saying, God, this is the start of my day. God, I want to dedicate this part of my day to you. The more that it becomes a rhythm, and the more that it becomes a rhythm, the easier it becomes. The easier it becomes, the more we can listen to his voice. The more we can listen to his voice, the more that we can bear the fruit that God has called us to bear. Amen. A rhythm. Can I just say, this rhythm may look different for all of us. Maybe you're a morning person. I'm a morning person. I love the mornings. I love reading the Bible in the mornings. I believe the mornings are godly. I believe the night is for the darkness. It's for the devil. Don't go there. The morning is where it's at. And so I love waking up. You can ask my wife, the first thing I do, turn on that coffee machine, because I believe that coffee and the word go hand in hand. Pastor Emmanuel will back me up on this. The coffee and the word, maybe that's another part of how you should approach scripture, with coffee in the morning. But here's the thing, what I'm trying to say is this, that all of us have different rhythms in life. And maybe for you, it's the morning. So make it in the morning. But maybe for you, your rhythm is at night. So make it at night. That is okay. But here's the thing, make a plan and stick to it. Notice that it's consistency that matters. It's not legalism that matters. It's consistency. So guess what? If you miss a day on your Bible reading plan, that's okay. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel condemned. Guess what? Come back tomorrow morning and pick up where you left from, and that's okay. Consistency. Build that rhythm into your life. The next thing I want to say is this about how we should approach the word. I think that approaching the word needs to be a reflective exercise. We need to take the word and eat it and chew on it and think about it. You know, in the book of Revelations, the angel instructs John to take the scroll, which was the word of God, and he instructed him to eat it, okay? And I think that this is what we need to do more of. We need to eat the word and chew on it and think about it and wrestle with it and have it work through our souls and work through our lives. Because I think that one of the greatest tragedies that we have with modern day Bible reading is that we rely so much on what other people tell us about the Bible that we neglect to actually work through the Bible for ourselves. How many devotional books are out there? And devotional books are great. I love devotional books. But if all we do is consume a devotional book about what somebody else has worked through the Bible, then we actually miss the process and we miss out on that process of working through the Bible and working through what God has to say to us for ourselves. And so I think that just like Jacob wrestled with God in the Bible, we need to wrestle with his word. We need to wrestle with what we are reading. We need to wrestle with the voice of God in the text. God, why did you say that? God, why did you do that? God, how does that work in my life? God, how can I obey that? If you never wrestle with the text, then you will never have a real conviction about what you believe. It'll always be a secondhand conviction about what someone else has told you to believe. If you don't wrestle with the text, you'll never have a real conviction of what you believe. You'll never grow in your knowledge of God. You'll never experience the truth of what you read. It will be secondhand information, but it won't be revelation to you. Or you could say the word inspiration or revelation if you want, for those who know what I mean from a doctrinal perspective. Revelation, inspiration. The next part is this. The way that you approach God. I think that you need to approach God and the Bible and your Bible reading from an active obedience place. It needs to be active, okay? Psalm 119, verse 1 to 11 says this. It says, "Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word." At the end of the day, church, if our reading doesn't conclude or involve obeying, then we're just wasting our time. See, we read the Bible so that it can shape us into who we were meant to become. And if we do not obey what we are reading, then we will never get there. We will never become the people that God has called us to become. So our reading and our listening should become an act of submission, an act of obedience. And the last thing I want to say is this, how we should approach the Bible and how we read the Bible. I think that we need to approach the Bible by reading it in community. What do I mean by that? Community, by a sense of accountability. You see, the last thing I want to say about it is that I think that the Bible was always a gift, okay, to the community of Jesus. It wasn't just a gift to one person. It was a gift to the whole community of the followers of Jesus, okay? It was meant to be read in community. If you read the Old Testament and the New, you will find that time and time and time and time again, they would stand up and they would read the Bible amongst all the people of God. In fact, if you read the New Testament letters, a lot of them are addressed to who? To churches, because as the churches would receive these letters, they would stand up and they would read the letters to the whole community, okay? So reading is not just meant to be done in your own private, isolated space. Reading is meant to be done within community, within a space where we are rubbing shoulders with one another, within a space where we are accountable for what we are reading, where we are sharing with one another, with what God is speaking to us. Why? Why is it so important to read in community? Here's really three really quick things that I want to say as to why I think reading in community is so important and it cannot just be left to you reading by yourself in isolation, okay? The first thing is this. I think that when we read in community, then we read it the right way. What do I mean? I mean that when we read, we don't start going off into weird and wonderful ideas about what we think about the text. No, when we read it within community, we have the safety of our brothers and sisters around us that can say, you know what? I don't think that's what the Bible says. You know what? I don't think you're really reading that the right way. You know what? I don't think that God is really asking you to do what you think he's asking you to do. So when we read in community, we have the safety of right reading. The other reason why I think that it's so important to read in community is because we have a sense of accountability, okay? It's very easy, can I say, for someone to get up here and preach about the Bible, okay? It's very easy for me to come and preach about the Bible, but that doesn't matter. The crux of the matter is this. Am I living what I am talking about? Am I living what I am reading? Am I living what I am preaching? And the only way that we can have that accountability is amongst our community. So our community helps us to say, you know what? You know a lot about the Bible. You are very knowledgeable about the Bible, but do you live in accordance with what you know? Accountability. The last thing is this, very quickly, and we're about to end in just a moment, but the last thing is this. The reason why I think that it's so important to read in the context of community is because I think it does something to our faith. It builds up our faith. When we read together, our faith grows together as we understand what God is doing around us, as we get a sense of what God is working around us, what he's doing in the lives of individuals, what he's doing in the life overall of the community. A sense of faith grows within us. And so we need to read the Bible, not just in isolation, but with our community. Amen. This morning, like I said before, at the very start, this was going to be a simple message. And I think this is probably one of the simplest messages that I've preached. But can I just say, good. Because who said that Christianity needs to be complicated? We are the ones that complicate it. But I think that there is a simplicity about our faith. There is a simplicity about our Bible reading that we should be applied. And so although this message may be simple, at the same time as it's simple, I think it's one of the most important for you and I for 2022. This morning, it's very simple. My challenge to you is, why don't you make a fresh commitment to scriptures? Why don't you make a fresh commitment to hearing the voice of God on a daily basis? Why don't you make a fresh commitment to making this a rhythm in your everyday life so that you can hear more of the voice of God, that you can know him more, and that you can be shaped and conformed more into his image? You know, there are so many tools out there these days that make it easy for us. Here's a quick suggestion, and then I'm going to wrap up and pray. Here's a quick suggestion. Why don't we do this? Why don't you go ahead and download something like the Bible app? Okay, the Bible app is accessible on your phone. It's accessible on your laptop. It's accessible on your iPad. And on that Bible app, why don't you download what's called a reading plan? Okay, that reading plan could be a yearly reading plan, a half-yearly reading plan. It doesn't really matter. Okay, as long as it's something that you can do consistently and that you can build a rhythm over in your life, it's good. What translation? Depends who you ask. Any translation, as long as you read it, that's the best translation. Now, the next thing is this. Once you've got the Bible app, once you've got a Bible reading plan, why don't you get yourself a notebook and a pen? Okay, get yourself a notebook and a pen. And as you read, write down what God is saying to you. Some people use an acronym. I use an acronym, SOAP. Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. You write down the scripture that you're reading, you observe what it's saying, you apply, you figure out how that applies to your life, and you pray about it. Very simple. Pen, notebook, and write down what you're reading. The last thing I will say is this. Once you've done all those, why don't you share with your community what it is that you're reading and what it is that you're getting out of it? And I think that you'll find that as you share with your community, there will be more of a depth to what you're reading than if you just keep it to yourself. So as you read, write, listen, wrestle with the text, pray about it, pray about what you should be obeying and changing, and then share. And I believe, church, that as you do that, and as we do that, and as I do that, I believe that 2022 will be the most fruitful year of your life yet. Amen. Amen. Let me pray with you, church. Jesus, I want to thank you this morning for the preciousness of your word, God. We want to honor it. We want to live by it, Lord God. We don't want to take it for granted. We want to take your words, Lord God, seriously, and we want to honor them, Lord God, and we want to live by them. So I pray, Lord, this year, at the start of 2022, that you would help us as a church community, Lord God, to build this rhythm of listening for your voice in the scriptures, Lord God, that we would build this rhythm into our hearts, Lord, that we would apply your word, that we would live your word, Lord God, that we would be accountable to each other for your word, Lord God, that we would submit, Lord, help us to submit and conform to your word, Lord, so that we can become the people that you have called us to be. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for what you're doing in us, and in our church community, Lord. Bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, it's been an honor and a privilege to be with you. Before we finish up today, I just want to remind you, today's been a one-off occasion to do this online. Our plan is to be back together again in person next week, but look out for information, look out for text messages, all that sort of stuff, and we will keep you updated. Otherwise, the rest of the things that happen within our church are still going on. If you meet in a connect group, all that sort of stuff is still happening, so please speak to your connect group leader about that. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you again in person. We love you. Have a great day. And I pray that you are blessed as you take up this rhythm of Bible reading in your life. Amen.